Welcome to the Torah Teimecho Parshat HaShavua with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and this week we'll be learning Parshas Pinchas. We already heard about Pinchas last week, and in fact, this Parsha starts in the middle of a story. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, kills the Nasi, the prince from Shevet Shimon, whose name was Zimri, and the Midianite princess Cosby, who were engaged in an immoral act. And in this parsha, he is going to be rewarded for this act of kana'os, of zealotry. And Hashem says, I'm going to give you brisi shalom, my covenant of peace. You are going to be a Kohen. It's interesting that when Aaron became a Kohen, he became a Kohen with his four sons. And anyone who's going to be born thereafter was also going to be a Kohen. But anyone who was already born when Aaron became a Kohen, which was the case in Pinchas's case, meaning Pinchas was already born at this time, does not become a Kohen. He's going to have to wait until now, the end of the Dor HaMidbar. They're almost going into Eretz Yisrael to get this gift of being a Kohen. And the parsha continues with a counting of the people. We started the sefer by saying that it's called Sefer HaPikudim, the book of numbers, because they're going to be counted twice, once at the beginning of the sefer, once now, just as they're going into Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of dividing the land. And Moshe is instructed on how the land is to be divided by lottery amongst the different shvatim and the different families of the Jews. And one particular family, which was the family of Tzlafchad, a man who died in the desert and only had daughters, came to Moshe and said, but our father didn't have a son. So does that mean that our family doesn't get an inheritance? Does that mean that our father's inheritance is lost? We also want a piece of the land. And Moshe actually didn't know what to do. So he turns back to Hashem, who says he accepts their claim and he incorporates it into the Torah's laws of inheritance. And now that we're talking about inheritance, Moshe is concerned about who's going to inherit him, and he empowers Yehoshua to succeed him and lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. The parsha will conclude with a detailed list of the karbonos, the tamid, which we give twice a day in the morning and the late afternoon, and the additional karbonos that are brought on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month, and the different chagim, the festivals, the holidays of Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. I want to discuss one of the underlying themes of this parsha, which seems to be a transmission of character that comes together with the DNA. Meaning, we understand when a person has the same color eyes or hair as their parents. That seems to be common. Usually children look somewhat like one or both of their parents. But in this parsha, we see it's the same for midos. It's the same for personality traits. This parsha begins with Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Heshivat Chamati, it's Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, who brought down my anger against the Jewish people. Bekino et kinati, he was fighting for my jealousy. He fought for me. And therefore, I did not destroy them. And therefore, I'm going to give him brisi shalom. I'm going to give him v'yistal lo ulezare acharov brit kuhunat olam. They're going to be kohanim now forever. Is an interesting question, because last week when we started the story, Pinchas is introduced there as well. And we know his family lineage. We know he's the son of Elazar. We know that Elazar is the son of Aaron. We know whose grandfather is Aaron HaKohen. Why does it have to be repeated here? And it seems to be that when Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby, it was not clear to the Jews that he did the right thing. He killed Zimri and people started to talk. And they started to talk about his father, Elazar, and his mother. Elazar did like Moshe did. Moshe married Tzipora, the daughter of Yisro. And Elazar did the same thing. He married a different daughter of Yisro. And when he killed the prince of Shevet Shimon, people said, Hari'isem ben Puti Zed, did you see this son of Puti, meaning the grandson of Puti? One of the nicknames of Yisro is Putiel. Shepitem avi imai, his grandfather, is the father of his mother, who is Yisro, fattened calves to give to Avodah Zarah. And now this person, this upstart, this person without a proper lineage, thinks he could come and kill a Nasi, a prince of a tribe with good lineage of Yisro. And it goes a little bit deeper than that they were making fun of him. What they were trying to say is, where is this coming from? What's his motive? Because we spoke about this last week, that the first condition for any zealotry, for any kanas, has to be that it's totally free from any external drive. Hashem has to say, Bikin'o et kinati. I'm attesting to this, that he was totally pure. And sometimes we wish that a nevuah, that there'd be a prophecy that comes and says, yes, your motives are exactly pure. We don't know that, not about ourselves and not about anyone else. But Hashem comes and tells us, no, b'kino'at kinati. This was not about him defending his own yichus, and it's not about him standing up for Moshe, and it's not about an ideal of saving Klal Yisrael from assimilation. It's simply purely a burning fire that cannot bear to see Nasi from any Shevet or any person doing this. Hashem hates this type of behavior, and therefore I have a responsibility to protest. When Pinchas kills Zimri and Cosby, the Jews start to argue. Where's his motive? What was his motive? And they said, it must come from the side of Putiel, of Yisrael, the side that comes from that family, of the non-Jews, because the side of Aaron, meaning Elazar's father, is Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom, means Aaron is known for loving peace and chasing after peace, which means that he would never do such an action. He would never be a zealot. A person who's an Ohev Shalom doesn't take a spear in his hand and use it against other Jews. And therefore, Hashem attests and says, no, actually, it is coming from the side of Aaron. And he gets the reward of Aaron, the reward of Kohuna, which Aaron got in the Schus. Why did Aaron become a Kohen? Why does he get to wear the Choshen? Because when Moshe was arguing and saying, maybe don't send me, maybe send Aaron. Maybe send Aaron because he's my older brother and because he's been taking care of the Jews and I don't want to hurt him. And Hashem says, no, Baruch b'samach b'libay. He's going to see you and he's going to be happy because he loves peace. And he loves, he's only wants the good for everybody else, the great love. You, Pinchas, you're going to get it too. And perhaps this is why he couldn't get it when Aaron became a Kohen. He had to get it now because it's going to prove to everyone that this action indeed came from love. Meaning that it's not just that that it was a practical reward, but it's the final proof that this is Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. It's actually coming from the one who loves peace. Sometimes loving peace means that you have to act this way because you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. And that's why he gets the reward. We're left with a question, and it's a fundamental one. Who cares if it comes from Yisroel or Aaron? Shouldn't we be judging it on the basis of, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? What does it matter to us where it came from? But we see that this is not the way Chazal think, and we see this over and over again in the Torah and even in our own Parsha. When a person does something, it comes because he is a child or a grandchild or a great-great-great-grandchild. It comes from his ancestors. There's a root to our actions. If Pinchas kills Zimri and Cosby, it's either because of Putiel, Yisrael, or because of Aaron. But it comes from somewhere. And Chazal always want to know from where. Let's go back to the Benos Tzlafchad. The daughters of Tzlafchad came, and it says about them, Tzlafchad was the son of Chefer, the son of Gilad, the son of Macher, the son of Menashe, and Menashe comes from Yosef. As if we don't know, of course we know that Menashe is the son of Yosef. So why does it have to tell us twice that they're from Menashe and once that they're from Yosef? And Rashi says, because you want to know why the Benos Tzlafchad were coming? It could be they were coming because they want property. It could be they were coming because they want land. But Rashi says, Ela lomar lacha, Yosef chibeb es haaretz. Yosef loved the land. How do we know that Yosef loves the land? Because when he died, he turned to his brothers and he said, make sure that I'm buried in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, these girls, they also loved the land. And we have to learn from here that the character traits that are coming from Yosef is what is making them act. What's the source of their love? The source of their love is the fact that they are the children of Menashe, who is the child of Yosef. B'nei Reuven want to stay in Eivar HaYarden. They don't want to cross into Eretz Yisrael. And we want to know why. Why do the children of Reuven don't want to cross into Eivar HaYarden? And the answer that they say is because we have too much cattle and they're going to graze and maybe they're going to steal from other people. And we don't want to, our cattle, there's so much cattle here. And Chazal look deeper and they say, who is this Reuven? Reuven, the Zayda, the great-great-great-grandfather Reuven, he is the one that he went at the time of Kitzir Chitim. He went at the time when of harvest, and there's so much to harvest. And what is he bringing home? Wild flowers that grow, Dudaim, and he brings them. Why does he bring wild flowers? Chanoch l'na'ar al pidarko. If you teach a child the right way to go, then gam kiyaskin, even when he gets old, but not that he gets old, but his lineage gets old, lo yasur mimena. He'll never stray from this path. Years and years and years, decades later, his grandchildren are going to say, we're scared of stealing. Our grandfather Reuven took wild flowers because he didn't want to take crops from people's fields. We are going to live Eivar HaYarden away from everyone else because we have too much cattle and we're scared they're going to steal. When it's real in the parent, when a midah is for real, it's going to pass on to the child or the grandchild or the great-grandchild, but pass on it will. And this is a frightening thought. It's a frightening thought because it works for every kind of midah. And sometimes we see a midah that we haven't properly worked on and it comes out on one of our children. And that's always scary. And it's also such a responsible, heavy achrayis on us, a responsibility on all of us to say, which midos do I want my descendants to have? What do I want them to be like? Do I want them to be people who love? Do I want them to be people who care? Do I want them to be people who sympathize? Do I want them to be people who won't steal? And we know how to do it. The chinuch is not as much talking as it is being. And when we become the people that we want our descendants to be, we have to become the people we want our descendants to be, because midos, personality, character traits also pass down, beyerusha, as an inheritance.